Rebel forces were reported to have seized the Libyan capital of Tripoli, but over the past 48 hours, there have been a number of dramatic twists and turns. First, the rebels claimed to have captured Muammar Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam, and then, in the early hours of this morning, Saif hardly looked like a prisoner strolling into a major resort hotel in Tripoli, surrounded by supporters and the International Press Corps. The incident has raised serious questions about the rebels' control over Tripoli, even as they storm Gaddafi's compound and NATO bombs continue to fall on Libya. We're joined now by international lawyer Philippe Sands, who sat down with a number of people who know Saif. We have linked Mr. Sands' article for Vanity Fair on our show page at WNYC.org. Philippe, welcome back to our show.
Leonard, it's great to be back with you.
Do we know if Saif Gaddafi was ever actually captured by the rebels?
Well, we don't. And in finalizing the piece yesterday, I broke from my vacation just to work with my wonderful editor at Vanity Fair, Colin Murphy. We didn't know whether to use the word captured or in custody, because I was already suspicious about yesterday's news reports, because I'd understood that basically Saif and his father, Muammar Gaddafi, Colonel Gaddafi, were basically hanging out together all of the time. And there was something about the story that was odd, but nevertheless, the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court had apparently indicated that he was in custody. The British government thought he was in custody, so we used that term. But we were suspicious, and then I woke up this morning and, like you, discovered that he was, gallivanting around Tripoli visiting five-star hotels.
If they have been in hiding, they have to be near the five-star hotels, don't they?
Well, that's probably right. I mean, Tripoli is not a huge city, but there is something odd about the story. And I think the issue that my antennae are sort of quivering with is whether some sort of a deal is being done to create a more of a seamless transition. As you know from reading my article, Saif Gaddafi, the son, was the heir apparent, but he was also supposed to be the reformer. So he was the friend of, Tony Blair and various other people, and the friend of the West, a friend of human rights. And for several years, he was very actively engaged with, London University, the London School of Economics, and traveled around the world. He was the acceptable face of the Gaddafi regime. And then, curiously, as the uprising began in Libya, he seemed to have switched sides.
And started talking very hard line, didn't he?
Did indeed. He gave a very famous television speech on the 20th of February of this year. It was expected that in that speech he would be conciliatory, that he would for a transitional move, and instead, not speaking from the text that apparently had been prepared for him and by him, he broke ranks and came out strongly in favor of his father and talked about fighting right till the very end. And that speech is what caused me to go off and find two people who knew him very well, his former advisor at the London School of Economics and his closest confidant and main speechwriter, a guy called Dr. Al Howney. I wanted to know more about him.
Well, what did David Held, the former academic advisor at the London School of Economics, tell you about Saif's views?
I've known David for many years, and we're colleagues, we know each other well, and he'd come in for a lot of flack, a lot of criticism in the British press for having been taken in. The story is Saif went and did a master's degree at the London School of Economics, and then in the late 90s, early 20s, so to speak, he then did a PhD. David wasn't his formal advisor, but did help him. And then after he had got his PhD, he gave a large grant. Saif Gaddafi gave a large grant to the LSE. And when these events in February broke, David Held was one of many who was criticized for having cozied up to the Gaddafi regime, as it was said. And so what I was interested in was, did he ever have any inkling? How genuine was his sense that Saif Gaddafi truly was a reformer? And he gave, I thought, a very compelling argument that he genuinely believed that he was a reformer, and he never had any sense that underlying this personality was someone who was so strongly behind his father. And what emerged from the conversation is a sort of Oedipal type of story, was that on the night of the 19th, 20th of February, Saif Gaddafi was basically faced with a choice. Do the right thing and bring forward the Libyan Spring, and in so doing kill your father, in effect, or side with your father. And faced with that choice, he did, I suspect, what many people ultimately would have done. He sided with the father.
Had David Held spoken to Saif about the uprising in Tunisia?
He had indeed, and his account, as I write in the article, was that he'd been very supportive, enormously supportive of the uprising in Egypt, enormously supportive of the uprising in Tunisia, didn't think such a thing would happen in Libya because circumstances were different. And I think that's really what caused David Held to be very surprised. But all of that account of, you know, Saif being supportive of what was happening in Egypt and Tunisia was confirmed to me by this man, Dr. Al-Houni, who was really one of Saif's very closest friends over the last decade, and who was with him, you know, in the release of al-Megrahi, the Lockerbie bomber, spent time with him, with, you know, British political leaders traveling around the world. And he said the same thing. He was, you know, living in a hotel room with Saif in various parts of Europe when the Egyptian and Libyan and Tunisian uprisings were taking place, and said that Saif was completely supportive of them.
Well, how does he differ from his brothers?
Well, he's Western trained. He has spent a lot more time in, you know, London, in Paris, in New York, and in various places. And against that background, he has obviously cultivated friends in very high places. The third person that I interviewed for the piece was the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, Luis Moreno Ocampo. And one of the things I was interested in is knowing who's in Saif Gaddafi's phone book, who's in his mobile phone, you know, address book. And by all accounts, there are lots of very, very familiar names. So what was essentially different was he had a different kind of education, and he was incredibly well connected with the, you know, ruling political classes in Western Europe and in the United States. So one story that I was given, the time that he actually met the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court 3 or 4 years ago, the prosecutor was at a film festival in Berlin and with a famous actor, Hilary Swank, and Saif sidled up to him and they had a conversation. So he was part of that set. That's what marked him out.
No, but he would not have been the person who would have gotten involved in getting mercenaries from Chad. That would have been another part of the Gaddafi family?
Well, that is, of course, the story in the Vanity Fair piece. I do my first two interviews. I speak to David Held. I speak to Mohammed Al-Houni. They give me rather compelling accounts. Then I interview the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. And what does he tell me? That the evidence that he has is at the very time that Saif is hanging out with Mohammed Al-Houni in January, he is also recruiting mercenaries from Chad. And so you get a sort of a story of a Janus-faced young man who's pulling in two directions. He's torn. He's on the one hand looking towards his friends in the West, sending out signals of support for what's going on in Egypt and in Tunisia. On the other hand, he's already deeply embedded with his father. So this is a complex individual. And if your listeners are interested in this, the one thing they should watch is on YouTube the speech that he gives on the 20th of February. All you do is you just type in Saif Gaddafi 20th of February speech, and you get it. And you watch a rather remarkable account of a man who is plainly torn and being pulled in two directions. It's about a 38-minute speech, and for the first 35 minutes, he's all over the place. One moment, it's, you know, reconciliation, transition, friendship. The next moment, it's, I will support my father. And right at the end, he comes off the fence and declares his hand for his father unequivocally.
So he sounds as erratic in an odd way as his father.
You watch him on this YouTube interview or speech, it's a soliloquy almost, a sort of tragic soliloquy, and he comes across as an individual who is, by the end, ranting all over the place. He doesn't, let's put it this way, he doesn't come across as the most balanced of individuals, and I think that's what was a real surprise. for David Held and his friend Al Cowney. David Held gave me a wonderful account of staying up late in London and watching that interview, that speech, live, because it was broadcast on CNN and the BBC and Al Jazeera and everywhere, and just being utterly shocked by the image of a man he simply didn't recognize.
Ranting and rambling.
Rambling throughout, and in the last 3 or 4 minutes just ranting about the rats and the infidels and they're on drugs and this and that, you know, the stuff we've become familiar with. And ever since then, he, you know, Saif Gaddafi has not looked back. But in my mind, it raised the fundamental question. I mean, I obviously have no sympathy for the direction Saif Gaddafi has taken, but it raises the fundamental question, faced with a choice between killing our father or joining him, what would we do? What would most people do? And that, for me, was the fundamental question. And it showed two sides of Saif Gaddafi's character, and in the end, the nefarious, the you know, the bad side prevailed.
Well, so much of this is about credibility, and how much credibility do the rebels have now? They claim to be in control of the capital, and here is Muammar Gaddafi's son wandering the streets, a free man, showing up at a bar with Western journalists. He told supporters he was going to hit the hottest spots in Tripoli.
Yeah, I watched the video this morning. I'm speaking to you from Spain. I watched it when I woke up this morning, and I just thought this is wild stuff, because yesterday we're being told that he's in custody, he's been captured, he's about to be handed over to The Hague, or there are debates about that, and sent for trial to the International Criminal Court.
We heard three of the sons were captured yesterday.
And they've all escaped, apparently, yeah. Which says something. I mean, one sort of smells a rat about what is actually going on here. There is a war going on in Tripoli, and I think in times of war there is great uncertainty. There are many people who are sceptical about the Transitional National Council, as it's called, the official name for the rebel group, the United Rebel Groups. And I think it's going to take a few days to sort itself out, and I think there are still going to be ups and downs. But I still do not exclude the possibility that Saif Gaddafi could yet emerge as someone that the West may wish to do a deal with in order to try to bring this to an end sooner rather than later. And that may be in part what this is about. He's certainly not sending out those signals right now, but he's got contacts far and wide. And it is said that over the last 2 or 3 months, he has remained in contact with the Western side, so to speak, as a force for conversations. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be a roller coaster a few days.
Well, we don't have much time, but in situations like this, usually there's either a deal worked out and the leaders and his sons are given asylum somewhere, or they wind up facing criminal charges, as we're seeing now in Egypt. Gaddafi says he's not leaving. The sons don't seem to be leaving. Do they really think that they can win?
I don't think they think they can win. I think the issue now is negotiating a deal that essentially gets Gaddafi out of the country, probably to Belarus, where I gather some of his family is already holed up via perhaps Algeria.
International lawyer Philippe Sands has written an article for Vanity Fair. You can find a link to it on our show page at wnyc.org. Philippe, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Terrific to speak to you again, Leonard.